those who are willing to do just that. God has great promise, great reward for them, and hence now the doctrine of SU3. As we are dealing with these concepts in the book of Thessalonians, and just finished the chapter 2 based on the fact of the positive issue of the Thessalonian church being King Paul's grief because of their positive issue. So Roman numeral 1, doctrine of SG3, surpassing grace, that we call SG3. Definition and preliminary considerations. A, SG3 refers to the special blessings and rewards for the believer in phase 3. We divide the believer's life up into three phases. Phase 1, point of conversion. Phase 2, the remainder of their life on this planet. Phase 3, the eternal state. And these are rewards and blessings that are above, point A, and beyond the normal or universal blessings bestowed upon all believers. All believers will have certain blessings bestowed upon them, just like all believers to all individuals, human beings, all have generally in the normal world, two a body, two arms, two legs, a head. You know, there's a common denominator with us all in regards to our existence. So is there in the eternal state here under the aspects of rewards, etc. So be the normal or universal blessings that all believers, of which all believers will be partakers of, include one, a resurrection bodies like that of Christ. We know it will be similar to that of Jesus. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be in regards to our new eternal resurrected state. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. In other words, we'll have all the properties of resurrection that Christ has, because we can see Him in resurrection body. He won't be invisible to us, see, as He could appear otherwise. And we'll have the same experience physiologically in our new spiritual bodies in this regard as Jesus Christ. So too, part of the blessing, if not one of the greater ones, is being minus the sin nature. No more inward battle. No more inward conflict. Ephesians 5:27. Regards to our presentation to Christ, the condition that it will be based on our position in Him, just simply through faith, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle, no blemish, that means no STA, see, no dirt, no stain. We're absolutely clean. We're absolutely righteous. No spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. And three, then, along with that, obviously, the total absence of pain, crying, sorrow, tears, death, hunger, things of this nature that we might experience otherwise in physical bodies. That's brought out for us, Revelation 21:4, the new eternal state, obviously, is indication of those who are living in an eternal state, hence that's the resurrection body. Then He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. See, some believers will not receive SG3, but only the normal blessings of heaven. That is the reality. And the primary passage of SG3 is Corinthians passage chapter 3, here verse 15. If any man's work is burned up, in regards to being at the bema seat, he will suffer loss, that's loss of reward. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So that shows you the potential, that there will be those whose works are burned up. There are phase 2 applications of life but they're still saved. They still receive the normal blessings. 2 Timothy 2, 12 and 13, verse 12a, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Endure to the end. Hold to the end. Get the crown and hence reign for the believer in time who maintains a linear action of enduring, which is hupomeno in the Greek, present active indicative. Keeps on enduring. It means standing one's ground, holding out, continuing firm, persevering. We say, stay the course. Stay the course. In the Christian way of life, they expect to rule and reign with Christ. Verse 12b, if we deny him, he also will deny us. That means that he denies reward. That it's not salvation again. It's brought out in verse 13, which reads, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He can't deny what he accomplished on the cross. He cannot deny God's plan, and anyone who believes in him is saved for all eternity. So believers are in Christ. Our position is in him through our faith. And you can't go back and undo that. Once you step over that line, you are now into the new periphery of existence in life. And there's no one thing or no thing that can snatch them from him. And under the doctrine of eternal security, John 10, again, another major passage of Christ himself teaching eternal security. John 10, 28 to 29. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. Eternal life at the point of faith in his person. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Through his power as the second member of the Godhead, he will exercise that power. And even Satan can't undo that omnipotence. My Father has given them to me is greater than all. If he's not, the Son's not good enough for you, then look at the Father. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then he proclaims his deity. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. And the Jews go, yes. Right. They tried to kill him. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Comparison here. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor death nor any other created thing, in case he missed anything, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is, and I have circled, big circle in my Bible, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our position in him is what secures us regards to our salvation. Salvation depended on him, and it remains dependent upon him. See? And so there is nothing created or otherwise that can separate us from what he has accomplished for us on our behalf in our salvation. So D, each believer will be rewarded based on his or her total accumulated divine good production in time. So your salvation is secured forever. So what now? See, that's the question one should ask a astute individual. What do I do now? If I'm going to heaven, what now? Why don't you try building up your secured existence and put it in the highest degree of pleasure and prestige and power possible to make for yourself your new eternal life in this regard. Phase two. That's what phase two is all about. Unfortunately, churches today, you are hard-pressed, apart from a doctrinal church, generally speaking, to find any church that really, truly teaches phase two doctrine. Other than, keep your nose clean, etc., so that you don't die and go to hell. So each believer then will be rewarded based on his his or her total accumulated divine good production. We call it divine good because it's good that's sponsored by God. In time, which is our phase two, no matter how significant or insignificant their work, and our doctrine of divine good is a sister doctrine of surpassing grace. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, confidence in the truth of doctrine. The reward is our Greek term, misthapodosia. It means what is due for service rendered, a payment of wages or recompense. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we, which is reference to Paul and the saints at Corinth, therefore all believers, must all appear before the judgment seat, the bema, literally seat, of Christ, that each one may be recompensed. That term there is konizo. That means receive back, get for oneself, or obtain. The subjunctive mood indicates potential and the possibility then, therefore, of no reward. That each one may be recompensed for his works or deeds in the body. So the works of the believer in phase two is what's in view according to what is done, whether good or bad. Good being agathos, divine good. That's works done in fellowship, divine good production. Or bad, this is phallos. Agathos versus phallos. That means worthless or human good. Works done under the sin nature, out of step with the plan of God, and therefore evil and without divine sanction. In regards to what he rewards for, even the smallest application is open for reward. Matthew 10:42, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little or humble ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. It's a given, and the reward is there forever in that respect. So there will be, therefore, class distinctions in heaven based on one's phase two input to the plan of God, and commensurate reward or rewards received. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know, what do you know? Bible water. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he, though he was rich in his deity as God, yet for your sake, here contextually the Corinthian believers, hence applicable to all of us, he became poor. That's reference to God the Son condescending into a union with the humanity of Jesus Christ under the doctrine of kenosis. That you, through his poverty, his position of humility as God, that's just phenomenal to think about that. God is humble. Obviously, his deity remains as God, but he assumes a position in that regards in the union with Jesus Christ. That through you, through his poverty, might become rich. He is willing to bless immensely anyone who will appeal to his person in regards to rulership over their life. That's why God created to bless men immensely. Adam and Eve in the garden, the whole design, the divine design was for them to enjoy life to the maximum and to enjoy forever. But they stubbed their toe. And hence the angelic conflict goes into full swing. And Christ so delivers from that, and we will experience that later on in our own phase three otherwise. So the subjunctive move there, might become rich, indicates potential for all believers. Every aspect of God's plan is based on the principle of grace as opposed to works. Now, we understand in phase two the necessity of application of doctrine, exhale faith versus inhale faith. But it's still based on grace. God makes provisions, makes a provision of everything we need to make the application. Romans 3:27. Where then is boasting, it is excluded. But what kind of law of works? No, but by the law of faith. God is not, will never be indebted to anyone. You can't outgive God. God has chosen the principle of faith to access his grace riches. Romans 5:1-2, therefore, having been justified by faith, that's the system he has designed, under grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The agent who makes it all possible, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we are now into a sphere of grace through Christ, and we exalt in hope and the glory of our God that lives at the SG3, and that's a part of that grace. So I, once one believes and accesses the grace of God, phase one, he should embark on a course of works with the aim of pleasing God. Colossians 1:10. Reason why you're given Bible doctrine, given the opportunity to have Bible doctrine, is so that you can effectively conduct your Christian life according to God's plan and profit from that, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, verse 10, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in divine good production, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, then, brothers, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. To not become complacent, but to keep on trucking, as we would say. Keep on plowing away, seeking to apply doctrine. Jay, it must be observed that these phase two works issue from the source of faith, which is in accordance or harmony with the principle of grace. Faith and grace go hand in hand. 1 Thessalonians 1, while we're there, 1 and 2. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, to the Church of Thessalonians, and God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all you, making mention of you in our prayers. Constantly bear in mind your work of faith, labor of love. See, grace goes along with faith, labor of love, and steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. In Romans 4:16. The law brings about wrath, but where there is no law in regards to the legal system, neither is there violation. For this reason, it is by faith. You don't get saved by keeping the law. You have to do it by faith. So the law has been taken out of the picture because Christ fulfilled the law. We don't need it. He did it. See. So hence you have the system of a belief system rather than a work system. That it might be in accordance with grace. And God wants to give this to us. He wants to hand it to man on a platter. How hard is it? See. But yet negative volition will continue to dismiss it, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are in the time of Israel, those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, spiritually. It's okay, therefore, it's because we walk according to faith, that the works equals reward system still remains a system of grace. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask you to bless us with these things in Jesus' name. Amen.